The following program is rated M for a mature audience. It contains coarse language.
Coming to you from California's capital, it's the Nate Darling Show with Diana Hong, Kareem Daniels, and Christiana D. And now, the man, the myth, the mustache. Here's Nate.
Actually, the mustache is gone. I know, it happened so quickly. I got tired of it. It's gone. So I guess I have to get another open cut. You want to know why I shaved my mustache?
Because sanity came back to your head?
Nope.
I don't know.
Nope, not at all. Kareem, do you have a guess as to why I shaved my mustache?
Did a girl ask you not to take it off because girls don't like it?
Nope, not at all. All
right.
Kareem, any guesses?
You couldn't get it trimmed right. Or some girl told you that she liked you without it?
Nope. I got a mustache hair caught in the tab on the top of a soda.
Ow.
And it pulled out and it hurt like a motherfucker. And I said, that's it.
Ooh.
That is it. Ooh. I'm done. I'm done with
like
this fucking mustache.
Like an epilady.
Yeah, it was. So that's
true.
That's why I got rid of the mustache. So it had nothing to do with any woman who liked it or didn't like it or either way. But the mustache is gone. I'm back to my lovely clean shaven self.
Good.
Yeah, you and my boss agree on that one. Although it's funny, I walked in and my boss didn't say anything, and I'm like, you did nothing but complain about it, and now I shave and you say nothing. Just, well, that's because I didn't want you to think I really meant all of those things. I'm like, what? You weren't pregnant, I'd anyway.
Too soon.
Didn't stop Ray McDonald, allegedly. Coming up on the show today, Kathy Griffin is mad. I'll tell you why. Pizza is sorry. Because pizza should know better, but it doesn't. And Kanye makes some demands that really can't be met. But first, Diana is working. Kareem and Christiana joined me for the show. Kareem, how are you?
Not good, huh?
I was going to say, how have you been? But I think we know the answer to that. Do you have any shows coming up that you want to plug?
Actually,
this is the Friday show, so anything of the weekend.
I could be in the at the Sacramento Comedy Spot in the comedy competition right now.
Ooh, well, there you go.
So you passed up a chance to win $1,000 to be here with us?
Yes.
I question your decision-making skills. I mean, I'm glad you're here.
No, oh, no.
Get paid.
Oh, no. What is all this? Oh, no. Oh, hold on.
Breaking news?
I have a coworker, he's under me. He broke his hand playing softball and he's sort of re-injured it high-fiving someone.
That's the story, huh?
So he's going to be late tomorrow. That's the text message. No, he told me about the high five and I was like, "Really, dude?" Okay. Well, so that's breaking news. But the Sacramento Comedy Festival is going on, isn't it? Something?
It is. This is Friday.
I've seen a lot of nonsense. Yeah.
There's good shows tonight. And, of course, tomorrow night is Lady Business, closing out last night.
Are you in that?
I am in that.
Okay.
8 o'clock, Sacramento Comedy Spot. Buy your tickets at saccomedyfest.com because it's a special show.
Not Sac Comedy Spot, Sac Comedy Fest.
Comedy Fest. Google up Sac Comedy Fest. I'm going to say, even though it's not, I don't know yet. It's been a great week. I heard really good things about how the shows went last weekend.
Right.
I will, by the time the show airs, have gone to the Cambridge Footlight show that is on Tuesday that I'm really looking forward to.
Right.
That is a British sketch comedy group that has, from which have sprung talents such as Hugh Laurie, Stephen Fry, Emma Thompson, John Oliver.
Anyone I've heard of? No, I'm just kidding.
John Oliver? No, come on. Hugh Laurie, I think you've heard it too.
Yeah, it's House.
So, it's exciting. And there's tomorrow night is also the final for the stand-up competition. So you won't see Kareem because he wasn't in it.
Oh, well.
But it's fair to give other people a chance. He didn't want to.
I don't believe that. I don't believe in stand-up competitions.
Okay.
Because it's really, I mean, comedy and what's funny is subjective. And it's just really weird. I've been in one, and it was weird, and I've seen them, and they're always, they just seem to be against the, yes, should I turn your mic off or on? Okay. Your mic is off now, Kareem. some behind the scenes stuff. Kareem is disgusted right now, but we can't tell you why. But while he deals with that, let's delve into Kanye West. If you have not heard yet, Kanye West stopped his show in Australia to make sure everyone was standing up so that he could do a song. The only problem was, he called out guys in a wheelchair. Okay, Kareem's back on. Two life lessons you're taught when you're young. Always wear clean underwear and think before you speak. So Kanye.
He thought he was Benny Hinn.
Didn't John McCain do that once? He was like, stand up and take a bow. Oh,
that would sorry. That would be Vice President Biden.
Oh, is it Biden? Okay. Yeah. I knew it was an old white dude.
Yeah. So the concert goer tweeted, I have a 3-minute video of Kanye waiting for a guy in a wheelchair to stand up.
He thought he was Benny Hinn or the Reverend Jerry Falwell.
Now, despite the crowd.
Oral Roberts.
Here's the thing. The crowd was trying to alert Kanye the fact that the person was in a wheelchair. But Kanye, because he's Kanye, sent a bodyguard to double check that the fan was indeed in a wheelchair. And when they discovered the fan was too physically impaired to actually be able to stand on his feet, Kanye said, he's in a wheelchair. It's fine.
So it's not quite what all the headlines say. But I like Keith Lil Jensen, who's a local comic. I like his take on it.
Which was?
He said, make fun of Kanye all you want, but if that kid in the wheelchair had actually stood up and danced, it would have been pretty cool. And sometimes you have to take a chance.
Well, now Kanye is claiming that he's the victim here. He's being persecuted. Sometimes you just got to stand up and say, hey, look, I did something stupid. We all do something stupid. And then people would move on. But no, he's a dick. So anyway.
Yeah.
It makes me want to go to Kanye concerts just to get down in the front and not stand up. I just want to sit there and glare at him.
You have been healed.
I just want to sit there with my arms crossed.
In the name of Jesus.
Fair enough.
I just want to see how angry people would get if I just sat there with my arms crossed and looked up at him and just shook my head no.
Lucifer, come out. Come out.
Nope, not going to stand up. Not going to stand up, not going to sing along. Nope, you can hold this up as long as you want, my man. I got nowhere to be. Anyway, but that would mean I would have to.
Tell you, that's what it was.
I blame Australia, too. I mean,
one of those old toilet healers.
Toilets flush the wrong way, the water swirls, and winter's in the summer, and summer's in the winter. It's just crazy. I don't know if that played
cats
a part of it.
Sleeping
it
would have
been
dogs.
Cool if that kid had stood up and then Jesus just rose up.
Jesus.
Well, he's almost near the end of his tour, so hopefully it means we won't hear from him for a while.
Yeah. That dude's going to have a hologram of himself just rising up behind himself one day.
Yes, he is. It's going to be next week.
Fantastic.
One day I want to find someone who loves me as much as Kanye loves himself. That's my goal. It's not possible.
The only person who loved himself more than Kanye loved himself is the chronic masturbator.
I thought you were going to say his wife. Because
she loves herself.
She loves herself, yeah. Yes.
Bad sex tape making self.
So
how could you marry somebody after watching them have a sex tape that bad?
Well, he did. Apparently, he's been love struck
like,
for a while.
Is he into necrophilia or what?
Well, look, he knew she wasn't going to outshine him, so there's that.
She did not move, if you don't know it or not. Ray J loves himself almost as much.
It's
as
true,
Kanye,
he does. Maybe to her, someone told her one time that sex is like freeze tag.
She was just
when someone slaps your ass, you freeze and don't move.
Because she was just a prop in the sex tape. And he was just filming himself fucking. That's how that was.
It was a selfie.
See, I'm going to have to Google it. I don't think I've seen it.
I think you're the only person under the age of 80 who's not seen that.
Yes. I got to keep my cred somehow.
Yes. That's true.
He did a selfie of him having sex with her.
Yeah.
So last week, with all of the Ray Rice videos and everything that came out, one hashtag that started trending on Twitter was the hashtag Why I Stayed. And it became a discussion point for people, mostly women, explaining why they stayed in abusive relationships. Here are some of the tweets. So many courageous people sharing their stories. Hashtag why I stayed and hashtag why I left. Domestic violence is often a hidden issue. Bring it to light. Somebody else tweeted, I couldn't face the fact that I was a textbook statistic. If stepdaddy hurts you, so will hubby. Hashtag why I stayed. You know, corporate accounts try and get in on trending things. And somebody at...
oh, dear.
Yeah. Somebody at DiGiorno Pizza...
Can't possibly end well.
It does not. just for whatever reason, decided to jump in on this and tweeted, hashtag why I stayed. You had pizza.
Wow.
So, and then of course, women who were bearing themselves emotionally didn't take kindly to this. Shocking, I know. Savannah Steele tweeted, I was into reading the hashtag why I stayed and hashtag why I left stories until at DiGiorno Pizza ruined it. And then they tweeted back, at the blonde bombshell, I'm so sorry for invading that space. It was a terrible misunderstanding of what the hashtag was about. I am so, so sorry. But pizza wasn't done. Pizza went on to tweet to at Kung Fu Mariachi. I didn't research the hashtag before posting, an easily avoidable mistake I've never made. I am so sorry. But pizza wasn't done because pizza had a lot of sorries to say. At Politic05, I am ashamed. There's no excuse for not knowing what a conversation is about before entering it. Never again.
Never.
Said pizza. Jesse Burney said, at DiGiorno Pizza, feed full of apologies for not seeing what the hashtag was before tweeting. So at least they learned a lesson. To which they replied, at Jesse Burney, sure did. I wish I didn't have to learn it this way. I'm so sorry. Pizza went on to say, at Cassidy Crow, I'm so sorry, Cassidy. I never meant to make light of such a serious subject. Then someone called them disgusting, and then they replied, it was a horrible mistake. I have tried to apologize to as many people as possible. I'm so sorry. You know they put that on the clipboard. I am so sorry. Copy, paste. BJ, who is Wheelie's mom, by the way, on Twitter,
Wheelie's
said,
mom.
Explain to us at DiGiorno Pizza how you can be in charge of a Twitter account and not check a hashtag before tweeting. That's no excuse. To which Pizza replied, at Wheelie's mom, it is an excuse. It never should have happened. I am so sorry, PJ.
I think you have to stop. I think you just have to stop, DiGiorno. You can't. I mean, also, I'm going to call slight shenanigans. It's possible they're that dumb. But what did you think that hashtag meant? Like, what else did the hashtag mean? Like, that's weird. Why I stayed at where? I don't know. I wonder what it's about. It did, like, never cross your mind? never crossed your mind?
Well, here's another one. I am horrified to make such a terrible mistake, one that could easily have been avoided. I am so sorry. Another apology. This one to Ad Time Magazine as well. It was a terrible and careless mistake. I would have never intentionally make light of such a serious and heartfelt conversation. So, lots of free publicity for DiGiorno. By the way, John Oliver highlighted this on his show on Sunday night. So,
nice.
I'd go on. There are more. But Pizza did a lot of apologizing on Twitter.
Awesome.
this story from Michigan. After stealing $600 worth of merchandise from a Walmart, a Michigan woman made her getaway on one of the store's motorized wheelchairs. Cops collared her 2 miles away from the store. Shirley Mae Mason, who's 46, was arrested and charged with the theft of $1,200 electric cart and 6 bags stuffed with clothing.
Okay.
During questioning by police, she said that she decided to swipe the motorized cart after failing to secure a car ride from the store. Mason, according to police report, said she, quote, just didn't feel like walking. And that's how you take a misdemeanor and turn it into a felony. She was booked into the Muskegon County Jail. She was later released after posting bond. And this isn't the first time. Last month, an 18-year-old New Mexico man was arrested for stealing a similar Walmart cart and driving it to a meeting with his probation officer.
Awesome.
Which is worse?
Awesome.
Which is worse? Stealing it to get away as your getaway vehicle or stealing it to go meet with your probation officer?
Probably to go meet with your probation officer, I'm going to say. I mean, I'd say it's a common, reasonable choice to try to get away.
But is it doing? But to use it to try and do the right thing and meet your probation officer. I mean, it's
that's the wrong choice. That's the wrong choice.
I don't know, Kareem. Which is worse, the getaway or the probation officer visit on the Walmart scooter?
The getaway.
Okay. So bad. Somebody needs those at Walmart. Okay, please. All right. So Kathy Griffin, I mentioned before that she's upset because last April, Craig Ferguson announced he was stepping down as host of The Late Late Show. And even though he's since been replaced by another British actor, comedian James Corden, for a moment, we all wondered if we might actually get a lady late night host with names like Chelsea Handler and Aisha Tyler popping up. Ferguson himself said he wanted to see a woman in his place. I don't remember seeing that, but okay. According to Kathy Griffin, a woman was never part of the plan ever. Now, this is via the Associated Press. The response of one executive to her query, they're not considering females at this time, she recounted. She replied to him, you realize that's illegal to say in a business meeting. When she was told by another industry exec the absence of female hosts was, quote, embarrassing and that women who represent half the population should hold half of such jobs, he had an answer ready. He said, well, you have the talk. He left out the view. She's pretty angry about it. Christiana, how do you feel about it? I know Chelsea's moved on to her own thing on Netflix.
It's lame not to consider it. I take everything. I don't like her.
Yeah.
My reason.
If she was the one applying for the job, I think every New Year's Eve with Anderson Cooper is reason enough to not consider her.
See, now New Year's Eve is okay.
Her drunk and groping Anderson Cooper and making him uncomfortable. She's the reason he came out of the closet, you know, because he got tired of it.
Yeah. Everybody knew you.
Well,
He was not in the closet when everybody knows that you're gay.
No. But what I'm saying is he came out and said it publicly because he wanted to make everybody clear on the fact that he really, really, really didn't like it when she was playing with his cock on New Year's Eve every year.
Right.
Whatever.
So, I don't know.
She knew he was gay. That's why she was doing it.
Oh, of course. She was just trying to make him uncomfortable. That's her whole thing, is making people uncomfortable.
No, because if he was straight, then she would know that he was going to try to get some ass, so she would have never did it.
Right.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. So, all right, before we move on, let's do this little game we play.
They act, we decide. Cool or tool.
All right, first up in cooler tool, pizza tweets. Pizza tweets. Kareem?
Tool.
Tool.
Yeah, tool. Well, this could be a quick one. Up next in cooler tool, walking. Walking. Christiana?
Generally cool.
Kareem?
Cool.
Walking is cool. Running is more cool. Stealing a scooter, not cool at all. And finally, in cooler tool, late night TV. Late night TV. Kareem?
White.
Hey, you had Arsenio for a minute again.
Again, white.
Soon, man.
Christiana.
Whole milk white.
Late night TV is cool.
1950s, Leave It to Beaver. Couple in a two twin beds.
You know,
white.
What I find amusing. Late night TV is I guess it's cool. I mean, the big thing about late night TV is they like, okay, we have a Scottish guy. Let's find someone whiter than him to replace him.
Jimmy Fallon. Oh, let's find somebody whiter than Jimmy Fallon.
Seth Meyers?
Seth Meyers.
You know the blackest late night host is Jimmy Kimmel, right?
Yes.
He's far and away he's hung out with Snoop.
Yes.
And Don Magic Wand, so he qualifies.
I love Dave and Craig Ferguson, but they're both leaving.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And Stephen Colbert and that other British guy are taking over for them. So it'll be interesting to see Stephen Colbert in that position.
And that's the thing, because we don't know what Stephen's going to be.
Is it going to be? Well, it's probably not going to be the character Stephen Colbert.
What I'm saying, because we don't know what. Not that character is really
right. Yeah, I mean it's that's the beauty of it though. He can sort of create what he wants, and be like, oh, I'm this guy. Oh, I'm this guy. Yeah, he could be Steve Martin from The Jerk. I was born a poor black child.
Looks white.
You remember the three rules from The Jerk, Kareem?
Crap, I can't remember what
they are. Lord loves a working man. Don't trust Whitey. See a doctor and get rid of it.
That's it.
I will never forget. I love telling that to people because everyone looks at it and like, what the hell are you talking about?
I love that movie. I just haven't seen it in a long time.
Oh, that is it's a fantastic classic movie. Now, we mentioned on Wednesday's show, we were talking about the NFL, and you mentioned that you had done a little bit of research into the NFL in regards to all of the talk of it being a thug league and all the violence and all the arrests. So why don't you fill us in on that?
Yeah. So Hannah Storm did her little soliloquy earlier in the week about how it was an epidemic of violence, and they're saying it's an epidemic of domestic violence. I'm going to say in the year 2014, the NFL would have 2,560 players attached to it. That's people on their practice squad and on the active rosters. And the injured reserve. So out of those people, there have been 4 arrests for domestic violence.
Okay.
So 4 out of 2,560 comes at about 0.004%.
Right.
So that does not sound like an epidemic.
No.
I don't know how. I think that math's kind of right.
The weird thing was we had a stretch of time where there were certain teams that would get, and they weren't domestic violence. A lot of them were just stupid arrests for things.
Right. And since the year 2000, there have the NFL, the rate of arrest for NFL players is at 2.53%.
Mm-hmm.
Again, not an epidemic. That is like 12% of the national average for arrests of men between the ages of 25 and 29.
Well, especially when you factor in the fact that I believe it's about 2/3 of the young men in the NFL are African American.
Right.
And the arrest rate for African American men in that same age demographic is much higher than just men overall.
Exactly. There have been 85 arrests for domestic violence in that time period, which is less than one a season.
Yeah, it's not really an epidemic. It's ugly when it happens.
It's ugly when it happens, but it's not something that's happening every day, not even every season. And it's ridiculous that they make blanket statements like that. And it's like, okay, well, let's look at the numbers. And that was kind of where I was. I was like, well, they're saying it's bad. Let's look at the numbers. And the numbers have been trending down up until this season.
Right.
Which they just went crazy again and they spiked up. I think there have been 38 arrests this off season. But before that, it was at like an all-time low of like 24 last season.
Yeah, and a lot of the arrests are caught with marijuana arrests.
And most of the arrests are DUI, drug-related arrests.
Yeah.
There were 85 domestic violence arrests, and there were 88 like assault arrests. But there's only been one person who's ever been arrested for murder, which is Aaron Hernandez.
Well,
there have been some people who have been arrested, or two people.
Ray Carruth. Yeah.
And there have been a couple of people who have been charged with vehicular manslaughter for drunk driving, but it hasn't been, you know, for the thug league and their
right
killers. You know, 2 out of
it's
probably 15,000 on us. You know, in the last 14 seasons, that's a pretty good average. I think I would take that over anybody else's numbers, especially considering cops have like a 40% rate of domestic violence.
Yeah, it's for a league that's full of testosterone, roided up guys who can't control themselves. They actually do a pretty decent job controlling themselves.
Yeah.
So,
any thoughts over there?
Sorry, I just got bad news, so I got distracted.
Oh,
sorry.
I'm tuning out. You do your NFL thing.
But
I'll be back and focused in like 2 minutes.
Let me turn Kareem off. He's taking a phone call now. We got a lot.
The show just fell apart.
We got a lot going on.
Just completely fell apart.
You know what? That's okay. I'm planned for this event.
Interlude again.
I have this eventuality taken care of. I'm okay. That's fine.
We're back. We're back. We're all back. Everybody's back.
But I was just saying, you know, that's, you look at the numbers and the numbers are, like I said, it's 13% of what the national average is. And you take it, and the domestic violence numbers actually coincide with the same number of domestic violence of people who make that same amount of money. So if you got rich white people, mm-hmm. which are mostly those people who are in that income bracket, they beat their wives at the same rate as football players.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
The only experience I have with any sort of domestic violence, I lived in an apartment in Plattsburgh, New York, and the couple below me fought a lot, and there was a lot of throwing things. She liked to throw things, and there was one morning, it was like 2 a.m, and you heard this crash, and heard a lot of, and then I heard him say, and I will never forget this phrase, "Get away from me, Stacy. I'm not going to jail for you tonight." So
apartment living.
Yeah, they'd done that dance before. Thankfully, they broke up because they were not a great couple for each other.
Mm. And that's the thing I've noticed. People who make the blanket statement about people are people that have never really been involved in domestic violence or know people that are really in it. Because you know that it's more gray than it is black and white.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, with most things it is, and it's easy to say that. And Hannah Storm's whole thing it came from her kids going, "Mommy, why is this this? And Mommy, why is this that?" And you're trying to explain an incredibly complicated thing with a lot of nuances to it. And, I mean, Ray Rice has applied for reinstatement. He's appealed
and
his...
He's probably going to get reinstated.
Yeah, because there are labor laws. There's a collectively bargained agreement, and even though they just changed the domestic violence provision in it, it was changed to first offense as a 6-game suspension.
Don't bring my people into this.
What, labor law?
Leave CBA out of it.
Oh, well,
but it is.
But that's what they, I mean, after the collective bargaining agreement, they came back and said, "Look, we're going to put a new rule in because this is a problem. We need to deal with it. It's going to be 6 games for the first offense, and then... lifetime ban after that." Yeah. Well, this is Ray Rice's first offense, and if they would have come back and said, "Listen, Ray, we got to give you 6 games, he's probably not going to appeal.
Right.
But when the Ravens cut him loose and they're like, "Well, you're indefinitely suspended," the union has got to step in and go, "Hey, whoa. And no one is saying what Ray Rice did was right or they're defending his behavior in any way, shape, or form. But the fact of the matter is you can't just randomly go and make up rules in a working environment where you have collectively bargained stuff going on like that.
Exactly. And it's not like the NFL didn't have rules. And Goodell did what he normally does in that situation. And because Ray Rice was who he was, and he had a good reputation in the league, and it was his first offense for anything, he gave him the suspension that he would have gave anybody.
It's so it varies so much by industry. Like, it's so silly to me that there's all this. It was his first offense?
Yeah.
It was a pretty big offense. I mean, even if it was his first offense, big offense.
But usually what they'll do for your first offense for something that's detrimental to the league is what they usually call it. They'll give you 4 games, and then... usually, if you comply with what they're tell you to, then they knock it down to 2.
Mm.
And the fact that he voluntarily went to therapy already, he had already committed to counseling before the NFL handed down the suspension. So he had already taken steps to do what they were going to mandate him to do in the first place.
Okay.
Well, and the other part of the story is this. Nobody, well.
And remember, this happened 7 months ago.
Yeah. Well, we hadn't seen him punching her in the face until after the 2-game suspension.
Yeah.
But when he was called in, all reports are that he told both the Ravens ownership and Roger Goodell when he went in the elevator, "I punched my wife in the face."
Yeah.
So there was no lying about what happened. But when you see it, it looks so awful.
Right.
And there was such a public outcry.
Yeah.
And I can't blame the Ravens for doing what they did, because it's within their rights to release any player
right.
based on what they do. But in terms of the league saying, oh, no, 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 you can't work, that's a whole other thing.
And it's if he had a denied it, then that would have been, you know, right. one thing. But he came in, he owned up to everything that he did, and he took responsibility, which is he did it, he did everything that they would have made him do to be reinstated into the league. So instead of him waiting for them to mandatory make counseling, he did all that stuff. They were already, they had the process working.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
So it's like,
I don't know. It's just, there's some things that if we get into people's employment, one offense should have them separate from service. It's kind of my wheelhouse.
Right.
In a different industry. And there's some things that I think, and I'm defense, so you know, I think everybody should keep the job all the time. But there's some things that I think the culture hasn't caught up with should probably be like, you're done. Unfortunately, you're done. Even if I believe he's truly sorry. I believe you wouldn't do it again, whatever. But there's some things I think, I don't know, that you get a second chance like right away where you still get to wrap yourself up in all those millions of dollars. Because, you know, we set these people up as heroes and role models. And it's about the children, which you love. But we worship them. And, you know, I think drunk driving, you should be done. I think abuse, you should be done. Major crimes, you should be done. I don't know.
Because, and my thing with that part of it is, if you do that, then you don't give them a chance to redeem themselves. And then it's a wasted opportunity to teach a lesson to the broader society.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we had the discussion last week on the show. And I mean, ultimately the NFL suspension is kind of unnecessary, because I don't think there's another team in the NFL that will touch him this season. Mm-hmm. Maybe next year a team would take a chance and go, listen, Ray Rice has done everything he's supposed to do. He's, for all accounts, other than this one incident, a model person, whatever. There is somebody that will probably give him a chance. But suspending him indefinitely now is pointless, because there's no team that's going to go, hey, the Ravens released Ray Rice, we need to pick his ass up. Because there'd be nothing but people protesting.
Yeah.
Because the only place where he had that support was, there were people protesting for Ray Rice and handing out Ray Rice t-shirts in Baltimore. I mean, he is beloved in that city for doing good things that don't involve his wife. Yeah.
That's the thing. I'm like, yeah, he made a mistake, but you can't erase all the other stuff that he's done and pretend like, okay, well, he's a monster because he did that and he just did nothing else. There's nothing else you can do with him.
But anyway, so let's move on to something completely different. The Simpsons took the Hollywood Bowl and Conan O'Brien performed the monorail song.
And North Haverbrook, and by gum, it put them on the map. Well, sir, there's nothing on earth like a genuine, bona fide, electrified six-car monorail. What I say?
Monorail.
What's it called?
Monorail.
That's right, monorail.
Monorail. Monorail.
I knew those things are awfully loud.
It rides as softly as a cloud.
Is there a chance the track could bend?
Not on your life, my Hindu friend!
What about us brain-dead slobs?
You'll be given cushy jobs!
Were you sent here by the devil?
No, my friend, I'm on the level!
The rain came off my pudding can!
Take my penknife, my good man! It's Springfield's only choice! Drop your hands and raise your voice!
I believe this is Phil Hartman's song, so he.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. There was a whole big thing at the front where he talked about Phil Hartman.
Yeah, you just reconfirmed what I said earlier about late night television. White.
That was,
it is full of white people.
That is very white. But Kareem.
It is hipster white.
It is.
I don't know if it's not hipster white. My parents watch late night TV and they are not hipsters.
Yes.
Unless you really want to go where they watched it before it was cool. And the ones that continue to be not cool.
Right.
So.
Yes. Do they watch Letterman?
No.
Oh, yeah. Your parents are cool.
They claim to not. They claim to only watch Leno when he did headlines, but I know that shit stayed on longer.
It was only on Monday.
Did they turn the TV up a little louder when he was on?
Yeah.
All right. Well, The Cosby Show has long been considered the greatest black sitcom of all time. It's celebrating its 30th anniversary. That show's legendary run marked a return to a more diverse television landscape this fall. ABC, NBC, and Fox, along with other networks, are going to debut a variety of shows that cast minority actors in lead roles. Several are women of color as well. The push for more nuanced programming brings to mind the 90s, a decade known for its rich portrayal of black life through shows like Living Single and Rock. So here is a ranking of black sitcoms that aired between 1990 and 99. And some of these I heard of and some of them I have not. Kareem, you can chant out your excitement for the
You have to day. Say which ones you haven't heard of. I want to know what you haven't heard of.
There's 46 on this list. So.
Wow, that's a lot of TV shows.
Homeboys in Outer Space.
Boo.
Never heard of it. Minor Adjustments. Never heard of it. Good Behavior. Never heard of it. New Attitude. Sparks.
I remember Sparks.
Getting Personal.
Don't remember that one. I'd have to see the pictures.
Yeah, there's no pictures here, sadly. It's just the list. George, I don't know which one that is. Cosby, I'm sure that was that was the one where he played somebody else.
Yeah.
That came in at 39. Arsenio came in at 38, and I didn't know there was a sitcom called Arsenio.
Yeah.
Sugar and Spice, The Gregory Hines Show.
That was a good that show was a good show that ABC fucked over because they moved it around too many places.
Okay. Number 35 is Damon. I assume that's Damon Wayans.
Yeah.
The Royal Family.
That was a good show.
Where I Live. Mm. The Sinbad Show. If it involves Sinbad, you know it's good. The Hughleys was 31, which I've heard of. I never watched.
Still in syndication. So.
Yeah, it's still on.
On Our Own, which again, I don't know. Kenan and Kel came in at 29. Then Good News, Cousin Skeeter, In the House, My Brother and Me, Thea, I remember Thea.
Yeah.
The Parenthood.
Okay, yeah, that was
Me and the Boys. Now we're down to the top 20. Sister, Sister at number 20.
Yeah.
I think everyone's, love that show.
Everyone's heard of. Here and Now, which I don't know. Smart Guy.
Yeah, that was Sister, Sister's brother.
Okay. Malcolm and Eddie. Which was, I believe, Malcolm and Jamal Warner.
And Eddie Griffin.
Eddie Griffin. For Your Love at 16, which I don't know. Out All Night was 15. The Wayans Brothers at 14. The Steve Harvey Show at 13. Family Matters at number 12. I think everyone watched that.
Yeah.
Amen at number 11.
D.L. Hughley should have been hired in a lot of those shows you name.
Man, this is just the list. I don't agree with the number one either. Top 10, South Central is number 10. I've never heard of that. Hanging with Mr. Cooper is number 9, which could be the whitest black show I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Moesha at number 8. Rock at number 7. I think Rock was kind of interesting because it was live.
Yeah.
Which they haven't really done on more than just a one-off basis since. Jamie Foxx Show at 6. Living Single is number 5. I love Living Single.
Yeah. Jamie Foxx Show shouldn't have been that high either.
Right. Well, I think it's because it's Jamie Foxx. Number 4 is Martin.
Yeah.
Martin.
Number 3 is The Cosby Show, and that's only because it's The Cosby Show in the 90s when they were adding everybody.
Yeah.
Cousin Pam. Who the fuck is Cousin Pam?
I like Cousin Pam.
Never heard of Cousin Pam. She shows up and shit.
Yeah, she's good.
Number 2, The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Okay.
And the number 1 black sitcom of the 90s, A Different World.
Yes.
I like that show.
Yes.
I miss that show.
Where I Live, A Different World. Where I Live, A Different World did not air.
Oh.
It aired like the first season. And I believe the ratings were I grew up in Vermont and there are no black people there.
Yes.
But
they didn't even believe that black people went to college.
Dude, they.
That's why it's
the station that I later worked for did not run A Different World, what they did was they ran an old episode of Cheers. So it was Cosby, old Cheers, new Cheers, and then Wings or whatever shit was on.
No, A Different World, yeah, that's, yeah.
Because no one watched it. No one watched A Different World. The other thing was, and I don't know if this went into the decision or not, A Different World tackled a lot of very controversial issues like drug use, and there were some stuff that was
like
pretty
a lot of other stuff. Like a lot of other shows do that too.
Yeah, but it was pretty heavy for 8:30, and I think that was probably more the reason than
they didn't
it was.
Believe black people went to college.
They're like, we're okay with a fictional show, but let's not get
let's
crazy.
Get carried away.
Hold on, Kareem. The UVM basketball team exists, so some black people go to college. We know this.
It's like, yeah, but those are our black people. we bring those in specifically for basketball. Black people don't go to school for not basketball.
Well, there's no football in Vermont. Yeah, so there's that.
Yeah, Different World. Yeah, I would agree with that one. That was the number one show.
That is actually
probably my number one.
Of all time?
Of all time.
Well, it did bring us Kadeem Hardison and his brilliance. So there's that. And Emmy, Oscar winner Marissa Tomei, who they jettisoned off the cast because she's white. I don't know why they get rid of her, but they get rid of her, and then she won an Oscar for My Cousin Vinny. So now, whether you love or hate Yelp, you have to admit there's a surprising level of influence in the internet age, and like any forum where average people get to say what they think, there's a whole lot of stupid going on. So what happens when you find the dumbest restaurant reviews on Yelp and mock the living hell out of them? Well, you put them on a list. This one's awesome. This is a 1-star review. I paid a cover to get in on a Saturday night, was having a good time, had a couple of vodka drinks. Then I committed the terrible crime of asking for tap water. I was told I could not have any tap water, that I had to pay $2.50 for bottled water. Great, plastic right into the landfill. I was really dehydrated and bought the water, but I didn't bother tipping the douchebag bartender.
No.
I won't be returning to the place. They made an underserved $2.50 and in the process lost hundreds in future sales. Good job, morons.
Aye.
This man's name is Robert S. Robert S. was really angry about this because 2 years later, he wrote this on Yelp. Another 1-star review. Almost 2 years out now and haven't been back. As I said, you made $2.50 you didn't deserve and lost out on a couple $1,000s I would have spent there by now. Way to win over your customers. Every 2 years he comes back. 2013.
Where the hell does he live at?
They don't say.
He has nothing else to do.
Right.
Does he have it like marked on the calendar?
Yeah,
like,
it's right around Mother's Day. It's in May. Coming up on 4 years now of not having been back since they robbed me of my money to buy a glass of water, despite having been drinking actual alcohol beverages all evening.
I want my $2.
They've lost plenty of my money. It was $2.50, by the way. So that's another one. It's another $1, 1-star review. So, and then in 2014, he's San Francisco, by the way. San Francisco. Robert S. from San Francisco.
Robert S. probably has like $1 million.
That's because he doesn't go blowing $2.50 on
makes
water.
$1 million a year.
Listen, that's and he keeps it because he's not spending thousands there. Yeah. Earlier this year, it's been 5 years now since I spent a single dollar in this place. They've lost a couple thousand now in sales to me. I hope the $3 they made on the glass of tap water they charged me is paying their bills. God knows I'm not. Over the course of 5 years, he's written 4 Yelp reviews. I get the one, you're pissed, whatever.
He's a woman in his relationship.
Right? Well,
he does.
He never lets his wife forget anything.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, it's a nightclub. If they're still in business after 5 years, you obviously don't fucking matter.
Exactly.
Like, for instance, I hate Beach Hut Deli. I have a fatwa against them. But
a fatwa.
I just called it that because I find it more amusing if you say it about a sandwich place than, you know,
okay.
You know, killing people. And I don't go back, but I'm not writing Yelp reviews about it.
Oh, my God.
Well, Claire B. from Santa Monica, who has no friends and has written 5 reviews earlier this year, gave a 1-star review. This is it. could use some vegan options.
Okay.
One star review. No comments about poor service or expensive prices or anything else that would indicate a negative dining experience. Just could use some vegan options. That's it.
This makes me think about, I went to see W. Kamau Bill last Friday, and he does a joke about Yelp and how people, like he went to a restaurant and somebody wrote a Yelp review about them not having any vegan food. It was a place called like The Feast or right. something like that. Like you expect them to have the vegan
whole,
food.
The whole hog barbecue didn't have any vegan
didn't
food.
Didn't have any vegan food. Like really.
Here's another one. Here's another one from Chicago. One star again. This place sucks. At 10 p.m. on Friday, they weren't letting people in because, as the bouncer put it, we don't want to crowd people in. We want you to come back some other time. Be relaxed and enjoy yourself. Good luck with that, friend.
Mm-hmm.
How dare you not want to crowd me in like a sardine? Yeah. You son of a bitch.
It might not have been 10 people in that place.
Nice.
Like you go to the club and you had to wait outside and then you get inside. Like, really? You made me stand outside for an hour and there was nobody in this motherfucker.
There's more. I'm not going to bother with the rest of them because it goes on like that. But there was one where somebody gave a 2-star review, but they couldn't be contacted back. So the owner commented on it. Actually, I will read this one. Okay. This is a 2-star review, so not a 1-star. Sure, maybe it's cool that they have a late night club scene, but I was here to see what food hype was all about. Tried several orders of the sushi cut and hand rolled, and it was just basic. Meh, this was the first place ever that I was charged for extra sauce for my hand roll. Do you really need a nickel and dime customers for something that equates to a condiment? Additionally, this is the first and only sushi restaurant I've been to that does not employ Asian sushi chefs. That detracted from the overall experience as well. Service was a mixed bag. Waitress and busboy were both friendly and attentive, while other staff dragged themselves around the place looking as though they were at a funeral. So the owner wanted to respond but couldn't reply, so they had to comment. Said, I would have loved to personally message this guest to thank them for reviewing, as I do with everyone, but she declined the ability to personally respond, so I'm inclined to make a public comment. Maybe we're not the cup of tea for everyone, and we don't expect to be. Sometimes guests have bad experiences, and I'll do my best to remedy these. However, in this case, I find myself having to explain or defend our chefs in the industry at large. You see, our chefs may not be your traditional Asian sushi chefs that Marina implies detracts from her experience, but I will stack our chefs up against any restaurant in San Diego County. Between the 8 of them, they amass an astonishing 100 years of sushi experience, have won the Best of Fest awards, competing against the best chefs in the country, and have received numerous accolades from dozens of print and online articles. It is the passion of the chef, not the apparent appearance or race of such chefs, that make the difference. Personally, this is such a slighted remark on the entire industry. I find it offensive. Is the best Italian food made by Italians? Is the best French food only served in France?
Best Italian food is made by my grandmother, who was in fact Italian. I just want to get that out of the way.
By men with poetic accents? He spelled by wrong. He used the wrong one. I think not.
I think he might have made that one.
By men. Please think.
Everybody loves you.
Before
when
you're by. Well, he actually spelled it as purchase. Please think about before one makes such sumptuous comments about whether the race of your chef is an indicator of the quality of your food. But she wasn't done. Oh no. Response to owner comment. As a customer, it is my prerogative to have personal preference of a specialized restaurant. I did not say
I'm entitled to my opinion.
That's right. I did not say
I'm
your lack of
to be racist.
Asian chefs detracted from the food quality, only the ambiance. I prefer to have Asians to look at. For me personally, if I go to a Chinese restaurant, I don't want to hear rock music pipe through the restaurant. For instance, it detracts from this theme. Take it with a grain of salt rather than being butthurt about it. Yeah, don't be butthurt about it.
I don't want to be racist, and you can't say anything about me being racist.
But it's not racist because I want Asians around.
Yes.
Listen, Kareem, if I go out for soul food, I want a bunch of black people cooking it and bringing it to me.
Yes.
How is that racist? Oh, wait, it probably is.
It probably is.
It probably is. All right. Speaking of things that are disturbing, the trailer for 50 Shades of Grey is out, and they showed it to old people. So...
What did the old people 50 say?
50 Shades of Pippin and Hoeing.
Sort of, but here's what some elders had to say to the 50 Shades of Grey trailer.
This is not good. Hypnotic eyes. Trouble.
Oh, Lord.
Oh!
Didn't expect an interview to end like that.
I'm incapable of leaving you alone. I don't do romance.
I don't do romance? What kind of a guy are you?
My tastes are very singular. You wouldn't understand.
Jeez.
I didn't imagine him that young.
He looks like a kid.
Enlighten me then.
Oh, baby.
Why was your grandma
you're in trouble.
Reading 50 Shades of the Grey, Nate?
My grandmas are all dead.
No.
They are. They had one African-American gentleman. They just cut to him. He was just sitting there looking at it, and he had giant beads. I don't know why, but he had the large black beads, and he said nothing this time through. But for whatever reason, they felt the need to cut to him just to go, by the way, we have an African-American gentleman here. We just not putting in what he said on this part. But they do go to him in a little bit.
To the dungeon you go.
Not exactly for children.
50 Shades of Grey, that famous novel. The trailer was a bit of a mystery to me.
I thought it was going to be a mystery or a spy thing.
You just knew that we either got vampire or sex coming.
The book was bad enough, the movie's probably worse.
So does this movie look good?
Yes.
It looks good.
I'm not into movies that are all about the S word.
It looks ridiculous.
The S word.
It looks stupid. It looks intriguing. I want to know what's on his mind. I wouldn't let him date my daughter, I'll tell you that. So far, I'm not turned on.
Have you read the book?
Okay. Here's the first time we hear from the African-American gentleman.
No, I haven't.
No, I wouldn't spend my money on it.
My library doesn't carry it.
I've read the book. I read the next one, Shame on Me. It's very badly written, but I couldn't put it down.
Do you have any idea what it's about?
Something to do with power.
I know it's something to do with sex. Just get her in the dungeon and do stuff to her.
I think it's an S&M story.
It's about this innocent young woman, and he turns out to be a sadomasochistic monster, but she tames him. So he becomes a nice man.
So we have some passages from
spoiler
the
alert, Grandma. Oh,
look it over first.
Okay.
And then let us know.
So I'll skip ahead to, are you going to go see it?
Getting at home.
Do you think it's okay for something this sexual to be that popular?
Oh, sure.
No, I think it says something sad about our society that's what people are spending their money and their time on.
Those books always existed, and they were a lot more crass, crappier, and poorly written in many ways than this.
I'm happy I live in a country where I'm not censored. And the price you pay for lack of censorship is there's going to be times that it goes over, and you're going to go, whoa! You know, this is too much. Somebody should do something about this. Well, you know what? Do you really want someone doing something about that? Because that means they're going to be doing something about this, too.
Truth.
What
do you want to go see it?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
You bet. You got to go see things eventually, or you're going to be, like, really out of the loop.
Yeah. But I'm embarrassed to admit it.
Not even if I got a free ticket.
When I saw that her mouth was taped, that was enough for me.
I don't think so, because I'm not into the bondage.
Oh, right, for sure. I won't read the book. I won't see the movie. I have zero interest in things like that.
But you kind of want to see it.
Not even kind of. You're not going to play this with me.
A little bit.
Not even a teeny bit. I wouldn't even torrent it. I don't know how to torrent.
Why is this your type of thing?
I guess I'm sexy and crazy.
Oh, wow.
So that's
fantastic. I'll see it. I just won't see it in the theater.
That means he can't get it a hard on anymore.
That's a pay-per-view kind of thing, right?
Yeah, I don't know. But that's old people talking about 50 Shades of Grey.
Wow.
So, yeah, I watched the whole thing, and I skipped through a lot of stuff, too. The African-American gentleman did not really say a lot in the whole thing. Everything he said was very... It was interesting because all the other guys were like, blah, 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 blah. And this guy was just very calm. And he was almost regal in his demeanor. Like, yeah, I'll say
the
something
beads,
about
man,
it.
It's the beads.
Probably. Mm-hmm. Probably the beads. I don't know whether they just rolled out to an old folks home or what their deal was, but yeah, that's old people.
It was funny to listen to all those women. Oh, yeah, I'm going to see it. I'm a wild and sexy woman.
Awesome.
All right, it's time for Florida Corner. In Dion County, Sarasota County, Dion Davis, Sarasota County deputies say they found suspect asleep when they answered a burglary call. Okay, let me turn down Kareem here. There you go. You're free to go. Let's take a listen.
Burglar, caught literally sleeping on the job. A cleaning woman caught him just right there taking a nap. Sarasota County deputies say she arrived at the home. She found the thief passed out on the bed. He had a bag full of jewelry right next to him. And here's kind of the funny thing. He was still asleep when deputies got there, so they snapped that photo you just saw.
Fantastic.
He's asleep with a bag full of jewelry.
He should have.
That is awesome.
Put some mace in his mouth.
Super awesome.
By the way, white guy. Just for the record,
yeah.
White guy. Also in Florida.
Mace in his mouth.
A sticky-fingered teacher made her daughter into a pint-sized partner in crime. Pasco County officials arrested Amanda Jo Hammond after she allegedly stole $1,700 worth of goods by stuffing the contraband in her 3-year-old daughter's pink backpack and making her walk out of the store. The string of thefts earlier this month all happened at the same Walmart.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. $1,700 worth of stuff at the Walmart, and you didn't even, and nothing
Man,
was a big screen.
A lot of shit.
Well, yeah, because nothing's a big screen TV, and any electronics that are worth anything are chained down. The 30-year-old had taught at Wesley Chapel's John Long Middle School for about 10 years before she abruptly resigned with a short handwritten letter. Let's take a listen to the news report.
Stole hundreds of dollars of merchandise from Walmart, but what might really surprise you about this is who investigators say she used to help her. Our Eric Waxler now covering Pasco County.
I just don't think it's a good example at all for the children.
Parents at John Long Middle School are just finding out about Amanda Jo Hammond. She taught science here for about 10 years, but Wednesday, while under investigation by the school district, she resigned with this short handwritten letter. Then the next day, she ended up in jail. The Pasco Sheriff's Office says Hammond, along with her boyfriend, Jason Dorman, went to this Walmart 4 separate times and used her 3.5-year-old daughter to help steal stolen items worth hundreds of dollars. According to an arrest affidavit, Hammond put
unnecessarily redundant
speakers in the child's pink backpack. Then she and Dorman took the child and walked out of the store without paying. Investigators say Hammond told them she planned to sell the stolen items to pay for her drug habit.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was mortified. I don't think that's appropriate at all. And I think it's a shame that it had to happen. I don't think that people with drug problems should be working with our students, especially active drug problems.
Aaron Clark is one of Hammond's former students.
I think that's quite pathetic, to be honest. You're using your kid to steal stuff. If you're going to act like a wuss and not take it yourself, why would you make your daughter do that? You can get your daughter in trouble.
So that's the lesson here. If you're going to steal stuff,
steal your own fucking self.
Don't be a wuss. Steal it yourself. Thank you. She taught that girl well. Wow. Former student. All white people, by the way, Kareem. You'll be glad to know. Also, speaking of white people, Gerard Depardieu is French. He's smelly, and he claims he drinks 14 bottles of wine a day.
kind of liver do he have?
He's 65 years old and says he's never, quote, totally drunk. Not buying it. I think totally drunk is just his normal state at this point. He owns a vineyard and said his normal day starts with champagne or red wine before 10 a.m., then again champagne, he continued, then pastis, maybe half a bottle, then food accompanied by 2 bottles of wine, in the afternoon champagne, beer, more pastis and at around 5 to finish off a bottle, and later vodka and or whiskey. However, wow. He says a 10-minute nap stops him from being, and I quote, totally drunk. He told the Mirror.
I'm just walking around tipsy all the time.
Right. He told the Mirror, when I am bored, I drink, apart from the compulsory moments of abstinence after bypass surgery, and also because of cholesterol and stuff, I have to be careful. Yes, after the bypass and cholesterol and stuff, He has. This is him being careful, by the way. He shrugged off health fears. He said, anyway, I'm not going to die. Not now. I still have energy. No, you have drunk energy.
That's it.
In a wide-ranging interview, the actor also reveals he's killed two lions, but says it was in self-defense. I'm going to do it in Napoleon Dynamite voice because what? I think it's more important. I killed two lions once, and I understand why the lion is the king of the jungle in legitimate self-defense. Imagine you're driving and your engine breaks down, and you go out and you're aware of these animals, so you just shoot to scare them, but they don't move. I wasn't there for hunting. I was in Africa for Africa. He's just he's just drunk and making shit up now.
Yeah. He killed two lions on the couch. He has a stuffed lion on the floor. He passed out and landed on top of it.
Killed
and when
it
he
dead.
Woke up, he told himself he killed it.
Oh, so yeah. Well, if you've been wondering what Gerard Depardieu is up to, there you go. Oh,
resting dead lions.
Do you remember Gautier? He was a singer artist who was popular last year for a moment.
Oh no.
What was his song? I forget. Anyway, I just randomly tweeted. You ever wonder what Gautier is up to? Because I'm like
all the time,
right? Let me find the response here because there was an almost immediate response. Oh, now I'm not going to be able to find it. Damn it! Of course I can't find it. Hold on. Well, this is exciting.
Get
podcasting.
It together.
I know. I didn't plan this part.
My God.
I didn't plan this
What's
part.
What's wrong with us?
August 13th, August 11th. Where did it go? It should be in here. It should be in here. Hold on. I'm just going to do a search now. G-O-T-Y-E. Oh, one of two. Hold on. Hold on. I know. It's going to be exciting when I tell you. Okay. Ha. Huh. The reply was from at the Walnuts. We know what he's up to, touring and recording with his band The Basics and working on a Gautier album out early next year. Smiley face. And also this. He's apparently in Australia hanging with the native peoples. So that's what Gautier is up to. In case you've been wondering.
Okay.
Sorry. A little
now
aside
he's just
there.
Some singer that I used to know.
Oh, used to know. Anyway, the one thing I will say about Gautier, because Arjun Singh from the band Wallpaper was in here, and he said Gautier is actually a pretty cool guy. So
that's great.
There
great.
You go. So he's a cool guy working really on a new album. He's, yeah, some
Look
happy news. We talk about a lot of shit going on, and you know, something good. Gautier is a nice guy. All right, so let's wrap this show up. Did we mention Amazon? Yeah, if you're going to shop Amazon, go through the tab at NateDarlingShow.com. Thank you very much.
Don't Bye. Let the big world overwhelm you. Let's get small. Small town news.
All right, we're going to wrap this bad boy up. Is this small town news? Yeah, it is. The most educated communities in each state. So they came down with the... And it's based on the percentage of population with at least a bachelor's degree.
All right.
Would you care to guess the state that has the... If you're not looking at it already.
Okay, I read that far.
The lowest percentage in their smartest city.
Lowest percentage of college degree in their smartest city?
Yes.
Alabama.
It is not Alabama. Alabama actually
We're
does...
Going by state or by city?
Well, it's but these are city in each state, and then there's a percentage.
Oh, okay.
So the best in this state, the best city has 39% of the people there with at least a bachelor's degree.
California.
Mm. Oh, no. California is up near the top, actually.
Yeah, yes.
It's North Dakota, Fargo, North Dakota. 39% of the people have at least a bachelor's degree. Some states that you wouldn't expect to do well did quite well. For instance, Chevy Chase, Maryland was the top. 92.7% of the people there have a bachelor's degree. Ladera, California, 89.3%. Winnetka, Illinois, 88.4%. Mission Hills, Kansas, 88% of the people have at least a bachelor's degree.
Okay.
Tennessee, Belle Meade, Tennessee, 86.4% of the people. a lot of these are small college towns. So that kind of, like Hanover, New Hampshire, which is where Dartmouth is, which we talked about last show.
Okay.
And their stuff going on. Let me find some of the Alabama. Mountain Brook, Alabama. 82.9% of the people there have at least a bachelor's degree. So much, much higher up than you would think. And actually the here are the bottom states. North Dakota, Nebraska, Nevada, Arkansas, West Virginia, Montana, South Dakota, Alaska, Hawaii, and then Mississippi. Madison, Mississippi is the smartest place there with 63% of the people having a bachelor's degree. Huh. Then Idaho, Louisiana, Oregon, which I would expect to be higher but was not. Maine, Cumberland Center, Maine, 67.6. That's the smartest city. Then Rhode Island. You would think these would be places that would be higher, but no. Delaware, Arizona, Utah, Minnesota. I mean, yeah. So that's the smartest town in the country. Chevy Chase, Maryland, named after a Moody actor.
Wow.
I know. It's crazy. My home state of Vermont is Castleton, home of Castleton State, where no one ever leaves. They just hang around and go, look, I have a bachelor's degree. Ooh. And, yeah. So, Village of Indian Hill, Ohio is another one in there. Georgia does very well, 81.8% in their smart city. So, that's it.
Okay.
That's it. It's kind of a pointless list, but, yeah, it's not the states that you would expect.
But now you know.
And, yeah, most of...
No one is half the battle.
It is half the battle.
G.I. Joe.
Knowledge is power. yeah, Ladera, California is number two. That's, of course, Bay Area. Because everyone in the Bay Area is smarter than you.
Right.
Weren't you? If you weren't aware, someone, I'm sure, will tell you that they're, you know, smarter and better than you. And
you know what else California was in the top in?
What's that?
Jim Crow laws.
Oh, that's right. I saw that. Because, you know, there was a lot of people.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about that later. That's a show topic right there.
Yeah, let's talk about Jim Crow laws. The good ones, the bad ones.
No, just that it's California has had the most and the reason why.
Well, California also rounded up all the Japanese Americans, too, and put them off in a camp because, you know.
Yeah, that's topic for another.
It is.
All right.
Because it's time to wrap this up. Go see Christiana tomorrow at the Sacramento Comedy Spot. It's saccomedyfest.com to see Lady Business.
And ACL and the finals of the stand-up competition and all kinds of good stuff.
That's right.
Yeah, awesome. SacComedyFest.com.
Friday night. Tonight has all kinds of good shit, too. And you should go to SacComedyFest.com to find out what it is.
Yeah. Yes. All right.
See you attend.
Everybody have a great weekend. There's a new Well Hung podcast on Monday because we recorded it last week because Diana's working till 10 tonight. All right, everybody. Be safe this weekend. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.